This is Express FM.
Supported by Highbury College. We are passionately Pompey.
Whipped in towards the near post. Headed from Naylor. And Tom Naylor scores the first goal of the Danny Cowley era.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
It's a club with unbelievable football traditions. A real football city. We feel really proud and privileged to be here.
Action and reaction.
We've all seen last minute runs. We have to keep the faith.
Time for a fresh start. I think we can do it.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
No one should ever step onto this island and control a game at Fratton Park. That's the philosophy that many Pompey fans want.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Pompey's playoff destiny is well and truly in their own hands with just one game left to play.
Brown wins it back just outside the area. Brown into the box once more. Brown! Oh, what a brilliant goal! Lee Brown! Two in first half stoppage time and Portsmouth suddenly surge into a two-goal lead. Wimbledon 1, Portsmouth 3.
Lee Brown was the hero of the weekend as the Blues ran out 3-1 winners at Plough Lane, the new home of AFC Wimbledon. This evening, we've been tasked with picking apart all the talking points from Saturday's victory, and between now and 7, we'll also hear the post-match thoughts of Danny Cowley, who was proud with how his side recovered from going a goal behind.
Great response, a brilliant response, a fantastic goal, and that gave us the momentum and the confidence to push on. And I thought we played some really good football from there on in.
The United Services of Portsmouth are also on the winning end of a scoreline at the weekend, and later tonight we'll hear from manager Glenn Turnbull.
The club has never played there before, so when we took over, that was our ambition to get promoted, and any cup runs are icing on the cake, really. So we've achieved our ambition, which we said we'd set out to do, so next year will be the first season United Services will be playing in the Wessex Premier.
60 minutes of pure and passionate Pompey discussion on the way this evening. All of that and more to look forward to right here on Express FM. This is the Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome to yet another instalment of the Football Hour, driven to you this season by Stagecoach across the South. Are you in need of cheap, reliable and eco-friendly transport across Hampshire or along the South Coast? Then look no further than Stagecoach. Head to stagecoachbus.com for more information on the services they provide, as well as how they are keeping you safe during the pandemic. You just heard me speak about the United Services of Portsmouth. They ran out 2-0 winners on Saturday afternoon, defeating Flackwell Heath just down the road here from Express HQ at the Victory Stadium to progress through to the semi-finals of the FA Vars. Later on, we'll be talking about their underdog story, as well as hearing from manager Glenn Turnbull, who spoke to Conor Mosley live on air earlier today. They weren't the only side from our island to claim an important victory at the weekend, though. Oh no, Pompey too picked up a vital win, taking one big step closer to a top six finish. There's still work to do, however, and tonight I'm asking you back home to get involved with the conversation. Was Lee Brown the difference on Saturday, or have the Blues also found their winning formula? Should Paul Downing retain his place for the visit of Accrington Stanley on the final day of the season, despite Jack Watmore returning from suspension? And how do you see Sunday unfolding? Will Pompey finish the season inside the playoffs, or will they slip up to allow either Charlton or Oxford to capitalise? All the usual ways tonight. It's at Express FM if you're on Twitter. Text your name and message, starting with the word Express, to 81400. Email Pompey at expressfm.com or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/PompeyLive. Before any of that, however, we take you back to the London district of Wimbledon, where on Saturday, Pompey travelled in search of a return to winning ways following a frustrating yet dramatic end to the game at Accrington in the previous match, which ended in a 3-3 draw at the Crown Ground. Your commentary team at Plough Lane was Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoot and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He scored!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
This game, which is vital at both ends of League One, Pompey, in theory, could win both their last two games and not make the playoffs. But for that to happen, Sunderland would need to pick up at least 2 points. Blackpool 5 from their last three, and Charlton would need to win all three of their last games. And we are underway to Wimbledon. Immediately send the ball long, and Paul Downing's first touch within the side the opening 10 seconds is to come over the top of the centre forward and win a header. Curtis has got the ball in the area for Pompey after a bit of a defensive mix-up, lays it off for Naylor. Naylor, instead of hitting it, goes to the right to Harness, back across goal and over the bar from Curtis, who flung himself at the ball into the stands, 0-0. The flag does go up on this occasion for Piggott, who puts the ball in the back of the net, and the goal is going to be given because the offside flag went up. Piggott played on and put the ball in the bottom corner, and referee Charles Breakspear is saying he's not offside because the ball has come to him from Ben Close. And Wimbledon, amid confusion, have taken the lead in the midway point of the first half. Wimbledon 1, Portsmouth 0. Harness is going to chase a long ball down the right-hand side and break into the area. Good play from Harness. Can he pull it back? Across goal. It can't be finished initially by Marquis, but Curtis drills it home. And Portsmouth level a minute later. Curtis coming in. Just got a forceful effort on goal. There were a load of bodies in the six-yard box, but he found the gap. 23 on the clock, Wimbledon 1, Portsmouth 1. Guinness Walker, infield good challenge from Close. Pompey have won it. Can they launch a counter-attack? That's a nice pass from Close. And Williams will see across the pitch. Curtis in space. 40 yards out, driving towards the penalty area. Up against Alexander. Curtis lays it off. Brown in the area. Lee Brown scores! First of the season for Lee Brown. Drills it into the bottom left corner. The finish of someone who's always in the goals. And Portsmouth on the counter-attack take the lead in stoppage time. Wimbledon 1, Portsmouth 2. Curtis with him. What a lovely run from Williams. Can lay it into the box to Curtis. And Curtis is denied by a great challenge from Alexander. Just when it looked like he was about to pull the trigger, as Brown wins it back just outside the area. Brown into the box once more. Brown! Oh, what a brilliant goal! Lee Brown! Two in first half stoppage time. Audacious with the outside of his left foot. In off the bar. And Portsmouth suddenly surge into a two-goal lead. Wimbledon 1, Portsmouth 3. Oh, Brown into the box again. Lee Brown from a tight angle across the face of goal and wide, and it's a corner kick.
I can't believe he didn't shoot. He's on a hat-trick. Got to just blast it towards the goal, hasn't he?
Harness drives down the right for Portsmouth. Guinness Walker gets a foot in but can't stop Harness, who goes into the box, lays it for Williams. Williams is shot. Not helped on by Marquis. They both scuff the ball and it's wide. And Oksanen plays it to his right. Here's Longman, edge of the middle of the half, and Williams has played Marquis through, and Marquis is thrown on the goalkeeper, and Marquis can end it for Pompey. Marquis goes round the keeper, who gets a touch to it. Marquis can then lay it up for White. White brings it down, touch, shoot, wide. Via a deflection, corner kick, still only 3-1. The final whistle goes at Plough Lane. Portsmouth have beaten AFC Wimbledon by 3-1.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
You've just heard there the commentary of Pompey's 3-1 win at Wimbledon at the weekend, called to you by our colleagues Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham from BBC Radio Solent. And on the subject of our colleagues from Radio Solent, today we found out some devastating news. Former Blues midfielder and stand-in co-commentator here on Pompey Live, Alan McLaughlin, has sadly passed away at the age of 54. As reported first by the Irish Times earlier today, McLaughlin, who was known by Pompey fans as Macca, has lost his battle against cancer. Macca started his playing career as a trainee at Manchester United before enjoying spells at Swindon, Southampton and Wigan Athletic before retiring in 2003, whilst holding the position of player coach at Forest Green Rovers at the time. He spent the largest period of his career at Fratton Park, having switched from rival Southampton in 1992. Macca would go on to spend 7 years at Pompey, racking up 361 appearances and scoring 69 goals. In the summer of 2011, Macca returned to PO4 as senior academy coach, working alongside Andy Orford and Paul Hardiman. 2 years later, he was appointed a first-team coach and went on to work alongside three different Blues managers, Guy Whittingham, Richie Barker and Andy Orford, before leaving the club in December 2014. Alan McLaughlin will always be remembered by Blues fans for being an integral part of the club's famous FA Cup run of 92, which saw Pompey bow out to Liverpool at the semi-final stage. Macca did score the winning goal in the quarter-final against Nottingham Forest. Macca also played a big part the following season, coming so close to guarding Portsmouth to Premier League football for the very first time. Alan had also represented the Republic of Ireland on 42 occasions, scoring two goals, one of which an extremely memorable one, not only for Macca, but Irish football fans all over. He scored the all-important goal, which booked their place at the 1994 World Cup finals. On behalf of myself and everybody here at Express FM, we send our condolences to the friends and family of Alan McLaughlin, who we are very saddened to hear has passed away at the age of 54. OK, let's welcome in my two guests now for this evening's show. First of all, a welcome back to Sam Macy. Sam, a very good evening to you, my friend.
Good evening, Jake. Obviously, sad news to start the show, but yeah, my only real memories of Macca was is co-commentating with Andrew Moon a little bit before my time. But yeah, I'm sure if I asked my dad or even my granddad, they'd have some fond memories of Macca.
Yeah. And alongside you, Sam, this evening, Blake O'Neill. Blake, likewise, mate, thanks for coming on the show tonight.
No worries, Jake. Always good to be on.
And before we do move on and talk about Pompey's win at the weekend, Sam, you briefly touched on it there. We've come to hear some really horrible news today, the passing of Alan McLaughlin, Pompey legend, which will leave the fan base absolutely broken tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. If you log on to Twitter or any social media, you'll see the amount of Pompey fans paying tribute to him. And I think it's really nice to see, and it shows how loved he was by the fan base.
Yeah, and Blake, you know, the three of us here are all too young to remember Macca's playing days at Fratton Park, but he's been a regular feature at PO4 on and off, you know, throughout the last decade in particular. And a man, you know, as Sam's, you know, perfectly summed up there, a man who will now be sorely, sorely missed.
Yeah, definitely. Total legend of the game, and especially the South Coast game. He's one of those few figures that united Southampton and Pompey. You know, both clubs loving him equally, possibly playing for both.
Yeah.
Moving from Southampton to Pompey when he did. But yeah, all out legend.
And if you've got any fond memories of Macca back home, be it, you know, one from a game or even an off-field moment, we would absolutely love to hear them tonight as we pay tribute to the former Blues midfielder. You can text your name and message to 81400, starting with the word Express. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com, tweet using at expressfm, or visit facebook.com/PompeyLive. We are here until 7 o'clock this evening. OK, Sam, let's talk about football now, mate. You know, Pompey, 3-1 winners at the weekend. What were your key takeaways from that game?
I think the biggest takeaway for myself was how important Lee Brown is to our team. I think we've obviously, on the show, you've touched on Charlie Daniels more than enough over the last few weeks and months. But I think just getting him back into that side, it shows how important he is. I think since probably we came into League One, he's been a mainstay throughout the whole time. And I think it's just a steady hand, and we really, really missed that. I think the results sort of like dipped as we couldn't really find a real left back. You see, we've moved to wing backs to try and accommodate his absence. I think him coming back, I think there was no better way for him to announce his arrival back in the team, but with two goals. I think that for me is the main takeaway, just how important he actually is to our side.
Yeah, let's go through the goals, you know, to start with, Blake. And, you know, that first goal, AFC Wimbledon, Joe Piggott putting the Dons ahead at Plough Lane. And very controversial because the ball is lofted over the top. Piggott has found lots of space in the Pompey half. He's clearly, you know, 15, 20 yards offside. The linesman has waved his flag. He's deemed Piggott to be offside. But the referee allows play to continue. The Pompey defence, they stand still. Okay, let's be honest. I don't think they were anywhere near Piggott in the first place to actually catch up with him and try to prevent the goal from happening. But, you know, McGillivray come out. He attempted to get the ball. I don't think it was necessarily a 100%, you know, full-blooded attempt to try and prevent the ball, you know, nestling in the back of his net. But the goal was allowed to stand. The referee overriding the decision of the linesman on that far side. Just absolutely bizarre circumstances. What was your take on it? Was it genuinely a goal which should have stood because of the supposed deflection off Ben Close, or do you think this is just a huge mess up from the official, you know, the officials that day.
Well, you know, League One officials have been had their fair share of criticism from fans. They do it a lot. You know, even in the Peterborough game, Schmoddick's in the last minute jumped into the defender and won a penalty. But this guy in particular shouldn't have stood. Because even if it does touch close, it's very minor. He doesn't change the play. Pompey could have stopped it if they'd have known it was onside or going to be given as a goal. But I think that goal was the catalyst for us to go forward. You know, Curtis getting the goal straight back within a minute of conceding, I think that got us going. So I think we could talk about the goal, but that probably did kickstart our game.
Yeah, and, you know, going back to that first goal, we'll come on after the break, Sam, about what Blake's alluded to there. And, you know, that first goal from Wimbledon potentially acting as a catalyst for Pompey to go on and react and have the perfect response to turn the game around. But I think the most frustrating thing from the Pompey perspective, and we'll hear from Danny Cowley a little later on the show, I know he touches on it as well, but I think it's the inconsistency. Now, later on in that half, not too much later actually, probably 5 or 10 minutes later, Pompey themselves were going forward, a ball again lofted over the top. John Marquis found himself in an offside position, but it skewed off of a Wimbledon defender. Now, it wasn't deliberately played to John Marquis, much like the ball for the first goal wasn't, you know, deliberately played to Joe Biggott from Ben Close. The linesman on that side, you could see he was hesitant to put his flag up. John Marquis burst forward. He had the shot on goal. It didn't go in. But in the end, the referee is given a free kick to Wimbledon. And I think, you know, if they can come out and say why it was a goal, you know, the first goal and why it should have stood, then surely that opportunity from Marquis also should have been allowed to continue. Is it just the inconsistency of these decisions, which is something which riles up fans more than anything?
Yeah, that's it. That's all you want as a fan, isn't it? Just consistency with any decision you make. I think, yeah, the officiating in League One isn't the it's not the highest standard in the world, is it? Let's be honest. But it just seems to be consistently inconsistent, and that's sort of what the frustrating thing is. I think you can't have one rule for one passage of play and then one for another. I think that's more what annoys fans. But I think, yeah, you know as well, like if a ball goes through to Piggott, he's probably going to score 9 times out of 10 because he is by far and away AFC Wimbledon's best player. But I think, yeah, it's just consistently inconsistent is the way to phrase it. And I think that's the most frustrating thing as a fan watching any level of football. You look at VAR in the Premier League, again, consistently inconsistent. I think if there's a consistent line, then fans will accept the decisions a lot more.
Yeah. Linda Mail has got in touch on the emails. She says, very sad news about Alan McLaughlin. Rest in peace, Macca. And Mark on the text, he says, never forget the famous goal against Nottingham Forest whilst on loan from the Chicken Drummers. Went on to be a Fratton legend on and off the pitch. Mark on the text there, paying tribute to the late, great Alan McLaughlin. OK, after the break, we'll have more post-match analysis from Pompey's win over Wimbledon at the weekend, and we'll also hear the thoughts of head coach Danny Cowley. He spoke to Andy Moon on the touchline after the full-time whistle to give his verdict on the game, and he was also full of praise of goalscorer Lee Brown.
It's funny, because as a manager, when a player's not playing, they grow in your mind, they get better and better. And I did say to him this week, in my mind now, you're not Lee Brown, you're Roberto Carlos. And he certainly scored 2 goals that were reminiscent of Roberto Carlos, but still needs to defend better at times, but no, 2 good goals.
I'll be back with Sam, Blake and Danny Cowley in just a few moments' time. Stick around for more Pompey chat, debate and discussion. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the Football Hour here on Express FM, supported by Stagecoach Across the South. Download their app now from either the Apple app or Google Play Store to locate your nearest stop and even pay for your next ticket. I'm joined alongside Sam Macy and Blake O'Neill this evening to discuss Pompey's 3-1 victory over AFC Wimbledon at the weekend. Match day number 45 of 46 for the Blues this season. Just one game remains for Pompey to secure a top 6 finish. And going back to the game on Saturday, Blake, we've discussed the first goal scored by Joe Piggott. Regardless of whether it was offside or not, the goal was given and Wimbledon were 1-0 up at the time. Joe Piggott, let's talk about him for a little bit. He has scored an absolute barrel of goals this season for AFC Wimbledon. And speaking to a couple of the, you know, the Dons media team at the end of the game on Saturday, and they mentioned he's out of contract in the summer. This season, 20 goals for AFC Wimbledon in 44 appearances. I don't know what that noise is. Let's try and get rid of that one. Yeah, 20 goals and 44 appearances for AFC Wimbledon this season. It's an incredible achievement. He's higher than any Pompey goal scorer on the top goal scorers list at present. Free agent in the summer. Is he someone you would like to see the Blues try and get?
I mean, he wouldn't have been on my list if we'd had to pay for him, but for a free deal, you're not going to get many better than that. You think he's got that many goals with players around him that are nearly bottom of the league, you know, battling for relegation. You pair him with people like Harness, Williams, people that like to create chances, and he could get 25, 30 goals a season if he was to be given the support and if he would want to move to this club.
Yeah.
But one thing you got to look at getting new players in is what league we're going to be in next season. If we do, by some miracle, win the playoffs and go up to the Championship, you can easily attract better players. And would he be Championship level? I don't know. If we're League One, though, I'd say, yeah, get him in.
Yeah, certainly a good player, Sam. And before the break, Blake mentioned Pompey's mentality to fight back despite going a goal behind to AFC Wimbledon. And less than 60 seconds later, the Blues were level through Ronan Curtis. Fantastic goal, well worked from Pompey, and a real good response to that first goal. Now, we spoke last week about the 3-3 draw at Accrington Stanley on Tuesday night. It was heartbreaking to go 3-2 up in, you know, in stoppage time, then to concede a very, very late own goal. Virtually the last kick of the game. Really was cruel for Pompey. But, you know, otherwise to get back into that game from 2-0 down at half time at Accrington, to come back and lead 3-2 in the dying embers of the match, and again on Saturday to come from a goal behind. This is something we hadn't seen from Pompey throughout the previous management this season. I think it was only two wins from around about 19 matches in which the Blues found themselves either level or behind at half-time. Under Bacali so far, I think we've almost doubled that stat.
Yeah, I think you can just see that from as soon as they came in, they were just an absolute breath of fresh air and someone we've not had, well, certainly since probably Paul Cook left. And I think you see the post-match press conference after the Accrington game, you could see visibly that how upset Danny Cowley actually was that we'd not managed to hang on and win that game. And I think that for me is just what you want in a manager, someone who just feels the pain of like every defeat. And I think we've not had that for such a long time. It's so nice to see. And if you've got someone like that on the sideline, that's going to filter its way through to every single player in the squad. And I think that's what we're seeing more of now. I think the first game, obviously the Ipswich game, where we came from a goal behind for the first time since Easter 2019 or whatever it was. I think that was such a big step. And I think now when they go a goal behind, the heads don't drop. And we think we can get back into this. We're not going to be able to get back into this sort of thing. I think that for me has been the biggest change since the Cowleys have come in.
Yeah. And we speak about Lee Brown as well, then Blake, the goal scorer of the final two games on Saturday to make it 3-1 to Pompey at half time. And that is, of course, how the match ended after 90 minutes. The first goal, right on the 45th minute, actually, from Lee Brown. The second for Pompey in that game. And then Lee Brown second and Pompey's third of the match 4 minutes later, right at the end of the half to make it 3-1. And both goals really, you know, replicated efforts of goal scorers, as you know, Andy mentioned in the commentary we heard a little while back. Both goals reminiscent of players who are scoring week in, week out. But Lee Brown, he's played almost 100 competitive games for Pompey, and he'd only scored one goal prior to Saturday, and that was from a set piece. That was from a Deadpool situation, a free kick against Bristol Rovers under the wall. He scored his first two goals from open play in the same match, having spent, what was it, four games on the sidelines due to injury. Now that is how you mark your comeback into the team.
Yeah. I don't think there's any other way you could do it. He's come back in after that period out. And he's been class in that game especially. And I think I even said it before, he's the player we missed. Charlie Daniels is good, but he looks a bit leggy. He does tell his age, and Lee Brown, I think, just needed a player behind him to push him.
Yeah.
And now he's got that player, he's looking better than ever before. Okay, he's come back from an injury and we've missed him, but he's come back like, hold on a minute, there's a player, he's in my spot, I need to prove why I deserve to be playing.
Yeah. And of course, Lee Brown was the big difference on Saturday, Sam, you know, with the two goals. And, you know, you wouldn't expect that from a player of Lee Brown's, you know, abilities and, you know, his position. Two fantastic strikes. And where on earth did that come from? Because even his second goal, Pompey's third, it was a well-worked run. Pompey lost the ball in the Wimbledon penalty box, but Lee Brown, he was persistent. He closed the player down. He put a challenge in. He won the ball again inside their penalty box, came inside on his right foot and absolutely arrowed it right off the crossbar, off the outside of his boot. Who would have predicted that? What a finish and what an overall performance from Lee Brown on Saturday. As Blake alluded to there, is he the player that Pompey have missed in the last three or four games?
Yeah, I think so. I think we have been missing him. And it's almost like the old cliche, you don't know what you've got till it's gone. That was sort of what it was like when Lee Brown was out of the side. But just touching on the goals he's obviously scored, if you look at every penalty shootout we've had since he's come to the club, he's no slouch in front of goal. He can hit a ball very, very well. And I think that showed in the two goals on Saturday. I think I don't recall him missing a penalty. Obviously, the penalty shootout against Sunderland, Salford, Oxford. I don't think he's missed in any of them. He might have missed in the Salford one. I can't remember. I've tried to erase that from my memory. But yeah, I don't think it was as surprising as it maybe is on paper, because he's not... It's not like if Sean Raggett popped up with those two finishes. I think Lee Brown can hit a ball well, so it's not as big of a shock. But I think it's more the fact that the two goals came in a space of about 3 minutes. That's the more shocking thing.
Yeah. We've got a few tweets in, one from Mockers. He says, huge credit to Paul Downing on Saturday for playing so well after being harshly left out of a starting lineup for over 18 months. It seemed like we'd signed a new player. The opinion of Mockers on Twitter there. And Pompey in Canberra says, an excellent result against the Dons on Saturday and great to see Lee Brown bag a couple of goals. He regularly gets into good positions, so hopefully the confidence he'll have gained from this game will make him more of a threat in the next. And hopefully, three more after that. Pompey in Canberra there on Twitter with that one. And again from Mockers, who's just got back in touch, saying congratulations to Lee Brown on being Pompey's leading goal scorer so far this month. Welcome back, Lee. Of course, only one game played this month at Wimbledon on Saturday. Two goals from Lee Brown. And one of the points mentioned within Mockers' tweet there, Blake, was, again, the return of another player in that Pompey defence, Paul Downing. Almost a forgotten man at the club. He came back on Saturday, you know, unable to keep a clean sheet due to that dubious goal from AFC Wimbledon to put them a goal ahead. But Paul Downing, what did you make of his performance? Because I know a lot of fans on social media since the game have been absolutely raving about his game.
Well, I didn't get to watch this one, but from what I heard and from what I've seen of the highlights and people putting up videos, Downing sounded solid. Raggett was apparently the one that was the weaker of the two. Now, the thing is, Paul Downing is a guy with that calibre. I think he got promoted out of League One with Blackburn, didn't he? And people were saying, oh, it's going to be Dumb and Dumber, them two at the back together. But obviously, Downing just lacked a bit of confidence. He's got that on his CV with promotion out of this league before. When we signed him off Blackburn, their fans were a bit shocked to see him go. So I think this was always coming. He needed a good performance out of him. He's got that. Even against Accrington, when he got subbed on, he had a fairly good performance then, throwing himself at the ball, stopping anything that was going past. And I think, realistically, he's a player that should play the rest of our games, whether that's with Watmore, whether that's with Nicolarsson, or whether that's with Raggett, I don't know, preferably Watmore. But then again, even Watmore's been a bit of a kind of liability this season in terms of red cards and things like that.
Yeah, we've got a few more Facebook comments to read out before we hear the post-match thoughts of head coach Danny Carley. Brian Gillen says, I'd like to see Lee Brown pushed forward more. Peter Loveman says, yes, keep Paul Downing in the side for Sunday. Do not bring Jack Watmore back into the team. Paul O'Neill, your father's got in touch with the show, Blake, as he always does. Good to hear from you, Paul. One game to go and we win, simple as that. Watmore going to be back, which is a massive positive, and maybe Hawula as well. Marquis, for me, once again is looking either lazy or unfit, so out of form. I wouldn't start Raggett for this game as he is making too many mistakes lately. Downing should start. Like to end by saying rest in peace to a Pompey legend and Ireland legend who sadly passed away today. Thoughts are with his family and friends at this sad time. Yeah, we echo those thoughts as well, Paul. Alan McLaughlin sadly passing away earlier today. And Paul finishes his comment by saying, a great servant to the game. Okay, then we are going to now hear the post-match thoughts of Danny Cowley. The gaffer caught up with Andy Moon after the full-time whistle on Saturday.
Yeah, an important win. I think there were some really good aspects to our play. I thought we had a difficult way into the game. Credit to Wimbledon, I thought they played with a huge amount of energy and aggression on the press. We wanted to play the first 10-15 minutes in their half. We didn't quite achieve that. There was a couple of tactical issues. Credit to the group because we were able to stay in the game and we were able to resolve that. I mean, the first goal was farcical, isn't it? I mean, Mr. Kalina needs to be really careful because he was a hell of a referee, but he's really close to ruining our game. That guy just has to be careful. He's got such an ego. And we don't want it all to be about Mr. Kalina. We want it to be about the...
What did the referee say to you about it?
Well, the rule is it's not the official's fault. It's not the official's fault. So the rule is that the ball gets played forward. Their player is 20, 25 metres offside. Because they deem that Ben Close has touched the ball, which he did, and because they deem it's not a deflection, then he's onside. But when we then have exactly the same moment, 5-10 minutes later, the referee then deems that it's a deflection and it is offside. And it's really hard for the officials as it is. Being an assistant referee with a game played at the speed and intensity that this level of football is played at, to be able to look across the line, to be able to have the peripheral vision to see when the ball's kicked, to be able to make a split decision, is he onside or offside, is hard enough. For us to then complicate the rules even further, the linesman's flagging, the referee's disallowed the goal, then he's given the goal, it's just shambolic. And it's actually impossible for human beings to be able to make those complicated decisions in a split moment. So we've got to be really careful with how we put the rules together, because they've got to be administered for all levels of the game, not just VAR and the top level of the game. We understand the top level of the game's got VAR and they can use that and that can help them, but the rest of us haven't. So we've got to make sure that the rules are able to be applied by everybody at every level.
Fought back well though, got back on terms almost immediately.
Yeah, great response, a brilliant response, fantastic goal, brilliant play by initially Callum Johnson and Marcus down the right. I thought Marcus was exceptional today, a handful, a real handful all afternoon, and a great finish from Ronan, and that gave us the momentum and the confidence to push on. And I thought we played some really good football from there on in. We were able to get the control in the midfield. Proud of Ben Close and Tom Naylor fighting there. You know, Tom fighting his way into the game, Ben playing his way into the game. It was great.
Ben went down, was he okay? No injury there?
No, just tiredness and fatigue. Probably made so many 100 passes today, which was great. And we were pleased with the resilience that we showed after the first 10-15 minutes and their goal. Probably the tactical change, moving Ronan to the left and Ryan. I thought Ryan run us into the game really with just a huge amount of energy. And Ronan was a real handful from the left.
And then you found yourself a new goal machine.
Yeah, Lee Brown. You can always hear Lee before you can see him. I did say to Lee during the week, because obviously he played in the first four games. He then got injured at Burton early on in that game. And it's funny, because as a manager, when a player's not playing, they grow in your mind, they get better and better. And I did say to him this week, in my mind now, you're not Lee Brown, you're Roberto Carlos. And
it's in his as well.
Well, and he certainly scored two goals that were reminiscent of Roberto Carlos, but still needs to defend better at times. But no, two good goals.
He didn't hear
goals.
That.
No, don't worry, I've already told him. But no, two good goals.
Just finally now, you've got the week. How's it like in a week when you build up to such a big game like that? What's it like for you?
Oh, exciting, brilliant. You know, let me tell you, when you've got a week and you're preparing for a dead rubber, that's hard work. That can be difficult. But no, this is brilliant. And I'm just so pleased, you know what, for the Portsmouth supporters. This has been such a tough year with this pandemic. And the fact that we've got a bank holiday weekend, we've got a win today. We play well in patches, which I think we'll take confidence from. But just for them to be able to maybe spend their weekend with a family and friends, maybe share a beer and celebrate the win and look forward to what is a great game now next Sunday against Accrington Stanley.
The post-match thoughts of head coach Danny Cowley there speaking to Andy Moon on the touchline at Wimbledon on Saturday. And, you know, we've already spoke about the goal, Sam, but, you know, we've heard the interview from Danny Cowley there, very animated, really making his thoughts clear. And whilst it didn't really affect the overall game in the end, there was every opportunity that it could well have done so. And, you know, at this stage of the season, at the time, only two games remaining, Pompey chasing a playoff position, every point counting, particularly at this stage. A goal like that, a decision like that, in a split second, in the heat of a moment like that, really could have impacted the outcome of this campaign and really could have determined whether Pompey finish in the top six or just miss out on a playoff position. So whilst we're grateful and we're not, you know, really mulling over it too much at the moment, because Pompey did end up winning the game. But you've got to be careful at this stage of the season in particular with those kind of decisions, because you could really make or break a team season.
Oh, of course you are. I think some of the decisions on the weekend, not just in the Pompey game, but in League One in general, as Blake sort of alluded to earlier on, that penalty Peterborough got in the last minute against Lincoln's farcical. And I think that's the difference between promotion and potentially not promotion. Lincoln win that game, they've still potentially got an outside chance of automatic promotion. I think, like I said earlier on, you've just got to be consistent with the officiating. And some of the decisions, not just in the games which we've been involved in, or even just this weekend, I think there's some terrible, terrible decisions. I think that is an issue at this sort of level. I think you've got to cut some referees a bit of slack, and I don't want to slate them too much. But I think you've got to be 100% sure. And if you're not sure on a rule, then surely you don't give the goal, because that could well have cost us the playoffs. I think if Charlton win and Oxford win, then we're third favourites to make that last playoff spot. And I think it could have come down to something like that. And I'm just thankful that it didn't make us lose our heads, because it's easy to sort of
Marcus,
boil over.
Yeah, no, definitely. Marcus Deakins on Facebook, he's got in touch tonight. He says, tragic, tragic news about Adam McLaughlin. I met him a couple of times and he was genuinely a lovely bloke. Always had time for the fans and always happy to chat about football. My two outstanding on-field memories of Macca, perhaps obviously that goal against Forest, and a couple of years later, his hat-trick at Blackburn, and also in the FA Cup run. Rest in peace, Macca, and condolences to your family. Also, guys, thanks for reminding all of us who actually can remember his playing days how old we are. Sorry, Marcus, we do apologise for that. I think we've probably got a combined age here of probably about 20, 21. Yeah, very, very young, the three of us tonight. But we apologise, Marcus. We're sorry for reminding you of your age. Mike T, Crispy Bacon, Sally Salsey's got in touch tonight. He says, evening, Jake Away and the lads. Rest in peace to Alan, a real Pompey legend. Let's win it for Macca on Sunday with Pompey pride. Yeah, totally agree with that, Mike. Let's do it on Sunday for Alan. We've got a few more tributes coming in on Facebook. Steve Farmer, a very good player, underrated. Rest in peace, Macca. Paul Allen, the presenter here on Express FM, great player, a lovely man. Used to see him when I was at the Key Radio. Steve Smith, my uncle, has got in touch tonight. One of my favourite Pompey players, he says. And Rob Turner, great player. Absolutely loved watching him. So sad. Also loved his commentary too. Rest in peace, Macca. A few more tributes from Pompey fans there on social media regarding the sad passing of Alan McLaughlin earlier this afternoon. Okay, we've just surpassed 20-7 here now, which means it's time for our second and final break of the evening. There's still plenty of time to keep getting your messages into the panel tonight. It's at ExpressFM on Twitter, Pompey at ExpressFM.com on the emails. You can text your name and message starting with the word Express to 81400, or find us at facebook.com/PompeyLive. When we return, we will replay an interview played earlier this afternoon here on Express. Conor Moseley caught up over the phone with United Services of Portsmouth manager Glenn Turnbull, who talks about his side's FA Vars progression as well as their applied league promotion.
The club has never played there before, so when we took over, that was our ambition to get promoted, and any cup runs are icing on the cake, really. So we've achieved our ambition, which we said we'd set out to do, so next year will be the first season United Services will be playing in the Wessex Premier.
So join us again for the conclusion of this evening's show. You're listening to The Football Hour on Express FM.
This is The Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to Express FM, and welcome back to the Football Hour, brought to you this evening by Stagecoach Across the South. Tonight I'm joined by Sam Macy and Blake O'Neill to review all of the action from Pompey's 3-1 victory over AFC Wimbledon at the weekend. And let's look at the League One table now then, lads. And that result for Pompey kept them in sixth place, 72 points now for Danny Cowley's side heading into the final game of the season. And let's take a look at some of the results from Saturday afternoon then, and some key games involving Pompey's playoff rivals, really. Charlton Athletic, they travelled to Accrington Stanley on Saturday. They were a goal down on the 81st minute, but on the 95th minute, unfortunately, Charlton did equalise through Chucks and Ike, so they took a 1-1 draw from Accrington Stanley. Oxford United, they found themselves at half-time 2-1 down at Shrewsbury Town, which was a huge result at the time for Pompey, but unfortunately, again, Oxford came back and they ended up winning by 3-2. And looking at the table, although we speak about Charlton's draw at Accrington Stanley, it didn't really do them too many favours. They've got a game in hand tonight, Charlton. They take on Lincoln City, who are currently fourth. And they're currently on 68 points, Charlton are 4 points behind Pompey. So, as it stands, if Charlton are defeated tonight to Lincoln City, they will be unable to catch Pompey on the final day of the season on Sunday, which means that final playoff position will come down between Blackpool, who are currently fifth on 74 points. They've also got a game in hand. They're playing tonight, so unlikely to see them drop out of the top six. Pompey sixth on 72 points and Oxford on 71 points. Now, looking ahead to Sunday afternoon, this is where it gets really interesting, Pompey fans. The final game of the season, it is now upon us. Pompey host Accrington Stanley at Fratton Park. And if Charlton are to overcome Lincoln City this evening, then all Pompey have got to do on Sunday is win to ensure that they finish inside the top six and secure a playoff campaign for a third season running. So if Charlton do win tonight, they've got another tough game on Sunday. They've got Hull at home, who have recently been crowned champions of League One. Oxford, meanwhile, they host Burton Albion, who, really, they can beat any side of Mersey, can't we? But, you know, can't they? So, you know, look, we've got Accrington. It's not going to be an easy game, Sam. We'll come to you first of all for this one. Looking at the permutations for this week's final, you know, action in League One. We speak about Charlton's game tonight against Lincoln, really hoping that Lincoln do us a few favours there and really put Charlton out of the running. But looking at the weekend's games, Pompey at home to Accrington, Charlton at home to Hull, Oxford taking on Burton at the Kassam Stadium. You'd like to think that on paper, Pompey have got the easiest game. But look, we travelled to Accrington last Tuesday and we were all proved wrong that Accrington Stanley are no walkovers. It's not going to be quite the walk in the park that maybe we'd hoped for.
No, I think you just have to look at Accrington's last few games. Drew 3-0 at the Stadium Alight. Obviously, 3-0 draw with us, and then obviously drawing with Charlton on the weekend. They've had a bit of a tough run in. I think it's very easy for a team like that, who are just very, very mid-table, to be on the beach as it is already. I think it's not going to be an easy game. They've got a lot of danger men. You've got obviously McConville, you've got Colby Bishop, Dion Charles. It's going to be a tough game, but I think I'd rather be playing Accrington than Burton. I think that for me is the toughest one out of the lot. I think Burton, since Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank's taken over, have been probably one of the best teams in the league, and I wouldn't fancy us if we were playing Burton. Obviously, they have already beaten us in the last couple of months, so I think that's going to be a tough game for Oxford. Plus, we saw about Oxford a bit of revenge for putting us out of the playoffs last season. I think tonight is going to be the big one for Charlton. I think that's the frustrating thing. I think if Lincoln still had something to play for in regards to automatic promotion, I think tonight I would have been a bit more confident going into it. But I think it's going to be a tough game regardless. But I just hope that Lincoln and Michael Atherton can do us a favour, and we then don't have to worry about Oxford going into Sunday.
Yeah. So the playoff destiny, Blake, is now in Pompey's hands. And when the Cowleys took over, 11 games ago, Pompey were 10th in the table. It really looked as though, you know, supporters, you know, myself included, I think we'd all given up on hopes of even a top six finish. But look, it is now in our hands. Simple as it is, Pompey win on Sunday against Accrington at Fratton Park, and we will be in the playoffs this season. Do you think we can do it?
Well, you have to be hopeful, don't you? I can't sit here and go, no, definitely not, because I don't want to be negative. Accrington won't be easy, and it's on Sky, which doesn't bode well for Pompey. Mm. I'll bring out a stat that I heard the other day, though, that Pompey have won the last game of the season twice in recent years. Both of the times they've done that in the turn of the millennium, we've been promoted. Obviously, 2002-03 and then 2016-17 are the only two times we've won the last game of the season.
Oh, wow.
And both times we've been promoted. So could it be a good omen if we do win that game? But it won't be easy. But home advantage could come into play because we don't have to travel. I'm hoping we can win. I think we'll be able to win it. Maybe not by a lot, but I think we'll be able to get 3 points.
Yeah. Certainly a fantastic omen that is for Pompey heading into the final game of the season. And I'll be back on Friday night with Sam Carter and Tom Malley to preview match day number 46 for Pompey this season. Pompey, they take on Accrington Stanley at Fratton Park on Sunday afternoon. It's a 12 o'clock kickoff, and a win for the Blues will see them finish in the top six. OK, Sam, Blake, thank you both very much for coming on to the show tonight. It's been great to hear from you both this evening. Wishing you well for the rest of your week too. And as we approach the end of the season, this could actually be the last time we speak to you for now. So I'd also like to thank you both for your input throughout the entire campaign, and I look forward to welcoming you both back, hopefully in person here in the studios, when Pompey return next season. Lads, take care and have a great summer.
Cheers, you too, Jake. Thank you.
OK, let's move on then. And at the weekend, the United Services of Portsmouth embarked on one of the biggest games in their history, playing host to Flackwell Heath in the quarterfinal of the FA Vars. Earlier today, United Services manager Glenn Turnbull caught up with Connor Moseley here on Express FM to talk all things non-league football, as well as his side's inspiring underdog story.
So we used to be known as Pompey RN. And we're based in HMS Temeraire. We play out of the Victory Stadium. So as our friends at Porchester, their fans called us, we're just a bus stop in Gunwharf.
Because it is on the way to Gunwharf. You always see it on the way to Gunwharf. So that little patch of grass with a little stand, that is where you play.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, we play all our home games there.
COVID has played absolute havoc with the world. Football is included in this, obviously, and you're at the 10th level of English football, if I'm right in thinking.
Yeah, step six, it's called, but yeah, so with 10th level, if you take it from the Premier League, yeah.
Yeah. When was the last time you actually played a league match, then?
I suppose a league match would have been the 12th of December. After lockdown, we came out. I think we had a run of 11 games from the end of October through to the 19th of December, which was our game against Millbrook. And in there, I think there was four cup games and seven league games. So we'd won all of them. And then to face Millbrook in whatever round that was of the Vars. And then, obviously, I think Boris announced the lockdown. Literally, it came through at half-time whilst we were playing the game. That was the last time we had any supporters in. Unfortunately, the league's been curtailed now for this season, but fortunately enough for United Services, the FA have taken points per game over the last two seasons, and we've been offered promotion, which we've accepted.
Oh, congratulations. Does that put you in the... I'm trying to work this out, the Wessex Premier Division?
Yeah, that's right. So the club has never played there before, so when we took over... Three seasons ago, that was our ambition to get promoted, and any cup runs are icing on the cake, really.
Yeah.
So we've achieved our ambition, which we said we'd set out to do. So next year will be the first season United Services will be playing in the Wessex Premier.
Glenn then went on to describe how it felt to guide the team to an FA Vars semi-final.
It's amazing, really. I think 612 teams is a number I've heard entered. Into the competition. So to be in the last, well, it's last five, because Hebburn, who won 2020's Vars yesterday, have still got their quarter-final to play.
Yeah.
But to be in the last, in theory, the last four for us is, it's an outstanding achievement. It's phenomenal, really.
Did you watch the Hebburn concert match yesterday?
Yes, yeah, we did. All the boys watched it separately. So again, the WhatsApp group was going off, but we watched the... Yeah, everyone was sat watching it.
I imagine for your players and yourself as well, just to be at Wembley and getting the chance to play on that pitch is just a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Again, I think I put it in the WhatsApp group or might have been somewhere, if this doesn't inspire you boys, nothing's going to. We're hopeful, should we be lucky enough to get there, that it's after May the 17th, there might be some sort of fan participation, which would be amazing. Not sure how many we get. We only usually get about 12 turn up to home games, so don't think we need too many coaches.
And I suppose the aim is, obviously, going forward, to do this sort of thing on a regular basis as much as you can, really.
I think everyone says that. Everyone says, we want to go as far as we can, but it puts it in a perspective. I think... Other than Scholing, this is probably one of the furthest the Wessex team has got for a long time. To put it in the context, United Services have won six Vars ties in 16 years, and this year we've won seven so far.
Wow. Well, I have been doing some research as well. You are the lowest team to reach the semi-finals since Bromsgrove Sporting in 2017. I'm hopeful that if you do get to the final, you'd be the lowest side for at least 12 years to win the FA Vase. I can't research any further back than that because it would take me a very long time to work all that out. So this weekend, who are you playing?
So it's Binfield from up there, up by Reading. We played them our first game actually as United Services managers.
Oh, wow.
We played them in the FA Cup, losing. We were 2-1 up with 8 minutes to go and lost 3-2. So, a little bit of tiredness set in.
And it's a one-off tie. There's no replays. It's just straight winner at the end of the match. Fingers crossed United Services Portsmouth can do this because it would be absolutely incredible, Glenn. The best of luck to you. And fingers crossed we see you at the final.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your interest.
And on Friday night here on the Football Hour, we'll preview Saturday's huge FA Vase semi-final between the United Services and Binfield, as well as, of course, Pompey's final game of the season. Well, I'm afraid that is just about all we've got time for this evening. I'll be back, like I say, on Friday night to preview Pompey's final game of the season. Accrington Stanley are the visitors on Sunday, 12 o'clock kickoff at Fratton, and all of the action will be right here on Pompey Live.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Portsmouth have found a way yet again.
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
3 points for Pompey at Plough Lane on Saturday afternoon. They beat Wimbledon by 3-1.
Brown! Oh, what a brilliant goal! 2 in first half stoppage time.
Up next, the Blues take on Accrington at Fratton Park in the game that could secure the playoffs. Join us for all the unmissable action this Sunday from 11.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
Join myself, Liam and Ryan for that one from 11 a.m. on Sunday. Hopefully, it won't be for the final time this season. Fingers crossed the Blues can get the job done and secure at least two more playoff matches. A win for Pompey on Sunday afternoon, don't forget, would seal a playoff finish, regardless of results this evening and regardless of results elsewhere on Sunday afternoon. A big game to look out for this evening, Pompey fans. Charlton taking on Lincoln City. It's their game in hand. They're currently 4 points behind the Blues going into the final two games of the season. Okay, coming up here on Express FM this evening, Nicola Lashley is back from 7 o'clock. She's got an hour of just great songs from the 70s, 80s, 90s and the noughties, with the decades rewind up until 11 o'clock this evening when the Express wind down. Nothing but the most relaxing songs all night long through till 2 a.m. tomorrow morning. Mason Jordan is taking a well-deserved break from Express Breakfast this week. Ian James is taking control from 7 through till 10 between now and Friday. Liam's back at 10. Connor Mosley through 1 till 4. And James Percy 4 until 6 with Drive Time. So, Pompey fans, thank you ever so much for listening to tonight's show. Thank you for tuning in. Have a fantastic week. Stay safe out there. And we'll see you at the same time on Friday night. Take care, Pompey fans, and good night.